In the middle of a series, don't worry if you haven't joined us for the other parts of the series, you're going to be all right. I preach every section of the series as a standalone message, but if you go back, you're going to get really blessed by the build that takes place in the series. The name of our series is Shoots, We Grow. All right, and we're in part number 3, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God today. Now, if you go back at the other parts, what you're going to find out is we're talking about the Word of God and how important the Word of God is. Some of my friends say it this way: if all you get is the Word, you're going to dry up because the law brings death. But if all you get is the Spirit and all you get is the Holy Spirit, you're going to blow up because you just can't contain the greatness of the Holy Spirit. But when you get the Word and the Spirit together, you will begin to grow up. And that's exactly what this series is all about, is how to grow in the Christian life. It's about how God wants us to grow and how we can begin to grow again if we've been stunted, if we've been stopped. It's time to grow. Can you say amen to that? Well, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit of God today. You know, so many things, I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, by the way, as a catalyst of change. There are so many things have been said, so many jokes have been made about the Holy Spirit or people being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You know, if somebody is talking nonsense, people might just be like, oh, they probably just got the Holy Spirit. And they make so many jokes about people that are under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, and to me, in many ways, the Holy Spirit has come under more attack than any of the other parts of the Godhead, Jesus or God himself. I mean, he has come under so much attack. And the only thing that I can deduce from that is simply this, that the attack on the Holy Spirit is so fierce because the benefit of the Holy Spirit is so great. You know, like Jason said, the devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but Jesus came that we would have life and that we would have it to the full. And you know, the devil is fighting against that. We have to understand that he is trying to defend himself against us living our best life by the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. So if he can make the Holy Spirit seem weird or strange or not okay in some way, then he's going to do that so that you don't receive the empowerment of heaven for your life. My friend, we need the Holy Spirit. And I want to share with you today that the Holy Spirit is the catalyst of change in your life and in my life that every one of us needs and wants. Amen. Now, I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but I want to talk to you very quickly about who the Holy Spirit is. Because, you know, there are a lot of myths out there, but not a lot of truth out there about the Holy Spirit. So I want to share very quickly. I'm not going to spend a long time on this and enumerating all the differences and all of the different things about it, but I am going to give you a few statements about the Holy Spirit. And of course, I could pull out a ton of scriptures. I just didn't put them down here today. But who is the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you this for sure, that the Holy Spirit is more than an atmosphere. So, you know, when an atmosphere comes into a room and people start falling down or whatever, it's not necessarily the Holy Spirit. I heard that when Elvis Presley would get out there and he would start to do his rock and roll thing, that people would swoon and they would begin to fall out. Can I tell you, it was not the Holy Spirit? It might have been another spirit, but it was not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is more than an atmosphere. The Holy Spirit is more than a feeling. The Holy Spirit is more than a goosebump or a tingle. You know, it's like, ooh, I have the Holy Spirit. Look, the Holy Spirit is a lot more than a goosebump or a tingle. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. He is co-equal with God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh. He is co-equal with them. They are not in argument. They are not having dissenting opinions. They're not taking it to another court. They are in total union and agreement with the Father and the Word. So the Holy Spirit is always in total agreement with God the Father and the Word of God. You know, when some people come up to me and they tell me, you know, Pastor Jake, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. But it's totally and 100% 180 degrees opposed to Scripture, I'm going to tell him that wasn't the Holy Spirit. It might have been having too much pizza last night. It might have been having too much kimchi or something like that. But it was not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never contradicts the Word of God. The Holy Spirit never contradicts God the Father. The Holy Spirit is in total union with the Father and the Son. Can you say amen to that? Here's the one that's really important that you've got to get into your heart and you want to know today, that the Holy Spirit is the one who is actually present on and in the earth, listen, today. The Holy Spirit did not go back up to heaven. He's not a vacant force on the earth. He is not just an atmosphere or a pervading element and feeling in the atmosphere. No, the Holy Spirit is present today on the earth. If you need to know it, you can go and you can look it up in your Bible, and I'm just giving allusions to Scripture today. I can pull them all out for you if you need it. But listen, God the Father is in heaven. Jesus Christ the Son is now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You can find that in your Bible. The Bible says that Jesus sat down waiting until his enemies would be made his footstool. So Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. So Jesus is not on the earth. He was on the earth, but he's not anymore. You know, the only one that's in the earth today of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will send you another comforter, and I will send you a helper, and he will stay with you from here to forever. And if, in my estimation, forever has not come yet. We're still in a named time and date. Forever has not come. The end of the age has not come yet. So the Holy Spirit, from the time he was poured out in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2, all the way until today and until the end of the age, the Holy Spirit will be with us as an ever-present help in time of need. Man, that is so powerful, because some people think that they wish that they could have walked around with Jesus himself. Look, if you walk with the Holy Spirit, you're walking with Jesus. If you're walking with the Holy Spirit, you have the same influence on your life that Jesus had on his life. If you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got everything that you need for life and for godliness. I want to talk to you for a moment about a catalyst of change. The Holy Spirit is a catalyst of change. Listen, if we aren't changing, we aren't growing. I've said this a lot over the last few months. If we're not changing, we're not growing. You know, when things change, there is loss. When there's change, sometimes there's pain. But if we're not changing, we're not growing. You know, if we're not growing to be more like Jesus, we might be dying or already dead in our spirit. We need to be changing to be like Jesus. Well, I'm already pretty holy, Pastor Jake. Yeah, but you're not Jesus holy. That's why he ain't taking you out yet. That's why you're not up there in heavenly places with him just yet. You're there positionally and spiritually, but you're not there yet because you're not perfect yet. But he's working on you, and he's working on me. That's why he hasn't taken me yet. I know my wife is like, Lord, just take him already. Just, he's perfect enough. Just take him. I'm kidding. She wants me to stick around, but she wants me to be perfected in the process. Can I hear an amen, honey? Yeah. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, being confident of this very thing. I like that. Confidence is sexy, isn't it? Being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. By the way, it's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. He will keep on working on you until either Jesus Christ returns or you just like him. That's how long he's going to keep on working in you. If he began a good work in you, he ain't finished with you yet. He's still working. Can you say this with me? I am in a process. You're right. You're in a process. It's the process of the Holy Spirit making you like Jesus. Say this with me. I need to change. My friend, it is the truth. You need to change. You know what else is the truth? I need to change. Say it again with me. I need to change. Check this out. I need to change in order to be more like Jesus. Come on, say it with me. I need to change in order to be more like Jesus. And all the spouses out there say amen. Amen. And all the children look at your parents and say amen. And all the parents look at the children and say amen. And if you all by yourself look in the mirror and say amen. Amen. We all need to be changed to be more like Jesus. I'm going to say it like I've said it before. If we would all be more like Jesus, the world would be a better place. Can you say amen to that? I mean, if we would all just be like Jesus, the world would be a better place. How do we change, though? That is the question. I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit is the catalyst of change. The Holy Spirit is the catalyst of change. Well, you might look at me and maybe you did not take organic chemistry, so you're not like, you don't know what a catalyst is. That's okay. I'm going to explain it to you right now. This is the definition of a catalyst from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. A catalyst is a substance that enables a chemical reaction to proceed at a usually faster rate or under different conditions as at a lower temperature than otherwise possible. I want you to get that into your heart real quick, that there is a reaction, that there is a change that's taking place, usually faster than normal, and under any kind of conditions. I mean, you can talk about COVID restrictions, you can talk about COVID conditions, you can talk about pandemic conditions, it don't matter. If the catalyst is there, the catalyst is working, even in odd, weird, hard times. Otherwise, it might be impossible. Some people become what is called recalcitrant. You like that word? Recalcitrant. It's like you get hardened again. You were softened, but you get hardened to a point where you cannot change. You know, inflexibility and change are very difficult. Think about it. When you've got a structure that's really rigid, like a tree, right? And you've got a hurricane that comes through. Is a tree or a blade of grass going to be the one that's going to break first? Always going to be the tree. But the tree is so strong. The tree is so rigid. The tree is unchanging. And that, my friend, is the problem. We need to learn how to be like that blade of grass where God can move us in any way that He wants to and it doesn't destroy us. We need to learn how to be flexible again in the presence of God. How do you do that? With a catalyst. Listen to this next definition because it's going to blow you out. You ready? A catalyst is an agent like the Holy Spirit, secret agent, Holy Ghost. He is an agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. I love that definition. It is an agent like the Holy Ghost that speeds or provokes. I like that. The Holy Spirit will provoke you. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God is like an ox goad. You know what an ox goad is? It's pretty much like an electrical prod, like a cattle prod, right? And it gooses you to movement. It causes you to need to move. It provokes you to movement. It provokes you to speed in movement and significant change or action. My friend, it's not enough to just change a little bit. We need to change a whole lot. We need to change to be like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I have so much to change to be like Jesus. Not just on the outward appearance, but on the inner man of my heart. The way that I think, the way that I filter, the way that I see, the way that I hear, all those things, the way that I speak, it all needs to conform to the way that Jesus is. Can you say amen to that? You know, the Holy Spirit helps to accelerate us in change while He remains constant. That's one thing about a catalyst is that it speeds a reaction, but it doesn't get consumed in the reaction. It is unchanged itself by the reaction. So the changes that are going on in you, it's not going to change the Holy Spirit. I know so many people that try to change the Bible when they change, or maybe they try to change the Holy Spirit when they change, but He's a catalyst. You change, He remains the same. My goodness, you can find that in Scripture. I am the Lord, I change not. Amen? Yes. So here's the thing. How are we meant to be changing? So if I'm going to be changing, how do I know how I'm supposed to change? I know I need change, but how do I change? Anybody ever ask those questions? Like, I know I need a change in my life, but I don't know where to start. I don't know where I'm trying to get to. I don't know what I'm trying to look like. Well, first of all, Jesus should be your vision. If you don't know where you're going, go after Jesus. That's a safe place to go. You know, we need to have a vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, people dwell carelessly. In another translation, it says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. They die. And another translation says it this way, where there is no progressive prophetic vision, the people perish. You know, sometimes we feel like we need change, so we just change stuff. But it's not effective change. Oh, I just need a change in my life. So then you change career, but then you shipwreck the thing that you've been working so hard on because you just feel like you were itching for change. It's like the 7-year itch or whatever, you know? And you feel like, oh, I got to change majors. I've been going after this major, but now I got to just change it because, oh, I'm not feeling it anymore. Or maybe people get into that, and I'm going to be really careful here, because I want to protect you, but sometimes people feel like that regarding their spouse, the person that they're married to. Man, I just need a change. This one used to be good, but now I need a change. My friend, hold up. That is not the way that God is trying to work. He wants us to change. Guess what? If I keep changing and my wife keep changing, you know what? We're going to have a new spouse all the time. Isn't that awesome? I mean, brand new. Today, I'm a different man today, sweetheart. Come on. You know what I mean? We got to change. We have to change. And when we change, all things are brand new. He makes all things new. So let me point you in a direction on how we are meant to be changing. In Romans chapter 8, 29, it says this, for whom he foreknew, by the way, that's every one of us, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, you ever meet families where they got some strong genes in their family? I mean, you know, they all just look alike. I don't know, maybe their head looked like a hatchet, you know? And you got a hatchet head mom and a hatchet head dad, and you got a hatchet head kids, all of them. I mean, they just got this genetics. They're strong. You know, they all got the same teeth. You can eat corn on the cob through a chain link fence. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you got some strong genes in there, right? We're all conformed to the image of God's Son so that we would be the first, so he would be the firstborn among many brethren. We're not supposed to look like we were adopted. We're supposed to look like we're the same genetics as Jesus. God wants us to be conformed to his image. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18, it says this, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Listen to that. The same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, you can't change from glory to glory without the Spirit of the Lord. You can't change into the same image without the Spirit of the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit to change to be like Jesus. Now, I'm going to say something that might sound like heresy to you, but it is going to blow your mind if you understand what I'm about to say. You ready? Go ahead and put it up on the screen so they can ingest this for a moment. Jesus couldn't be like Jesus without the Holy Spirit. Listen. Jesus could not be like Jesus, the Jesus that we know. He could not be like Jesus without the Holy Spirit. The Bible said there are many Jesuses. You know, Jesus was not, like, it wasn't a unique name. There were other Jesuses. I mean, if you ever go to the Philippines, there are lots of Jesuses there. They just call him Jesus instead. There are many Jesuses, but not any other Jesus other than this Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, the Son of the living God. Jesus couldn't be like the Jesus that we know without the Holy Spirit. Neither can we. Look, you can't be like Jesus. If Jesus couldn't be like Jesus, we can't be like Jesus without the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that he had. By the way, I'm probably going to get to this in another message, but the Holy Spirit that you receive is not like some people say the junior Holy Spirit. You know, it's not like you get a junior Whopper. It's the same Whopper. You know, it's the same Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, the same faith, the same mind of Christ. You're not at a deficit when it comes to living the life that Jesus lived. You have the opportunity to live the same life. Oh, but Jesus was blameless. That's why we have salvation. Because when we got salvation, all of our sins were taken and crucified to the cross with Jesus. So then we have a clean slate just like Jesus had. And we've got the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. And I'm crucified with Christ. So nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I got the same faith as Jesus Christ, which is the faith without measure. And then the Bible says that I have the mind of Christ. So there's no difference between me and Jesus. And I know that you think that that sounds like heresy, but Jesus himself said this: know you not that you are God's? The same word, that word God's is the same word as the word in Genesis 1 verse 1 that says, in the beginning, God. Same Hebrew word. It is the word Elohim. It is the same word. Know you not that you are God's? Well, how can that possibly be? Because you are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, your genetics, your DNA spiritually is exactly, identically the same as Jesus Christ. Man, if that does not light you on fire, I don't know what will. You just dead on the inside. You need some Holy Ghost fire to get on you and wake you up. That's what revival is all about, to come back to life again. You need some spiritual CPR. If Jesus couldn't be like Jesus without the Holy Spirit, neither can we. I want to say it to you this way. God wants you to reach your potential more than he wants you to stay comfortable in your present. Well, doesn't God just love me right where I'm at? Yes, he loves you. He loves you perfectly all the way through the process. But he doesn't want you to stay where you're at because your potential is so much greater than where you're living right now. You haven't even begun to touch the greatness of what God has for your life. And that ought to make you really mad. Because that means that you're missing out on the greatness that God has for you. You know what? That makes me really mad that you're missing out on the greatness of God, because I'm missing out on the greatness of God in your life that I'm meant to partake of. That's like if somebody comes over and raids all my mangoes off the mango tree. Then I can't enjoy the mangoes that are meant for me. Right? You are meant to have incredible fruit on your life for other people to enjoy, and I want to partake of the amazing fruit of your life. God loves your potential more than he wants you to be comfortable in your present, but he's going to love you perfectly all the way through and at every moment of the process. You know, I want to talk to you for a few moments about being changed for the better. I want to talk to you about some examples in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, about what happens when the Holy Spirit gets on us. What happens when we are changed by the Holy Spirit? Can I just say, and it's not even in your notes, but it probably should be, the Holy Spirit will never make you worse. He always makes you better. Some of you got to go back and listen to the message that I talked about, how to go from glory to glory, because it feels like you go from glory to gory to glory. It feels like we're missing a step as we go from glory to glory, but God is not missing a step. He is absolutely sure of where he's taking us, and we're just being conformed and changed. And in the process, sometimes it is uncomfortable, you know? But that's the process of change. Can I tell you that unequivocally, the Holy Spirit will make you better than you are without him. You know, the Bible shows us many examples of what happens when the Holy Spirit gets personally involved in and on the life of normal people. Now, let me see. How many of you, even if you're out there on Facebook or whatever, let me see your hands. How many of you are just normal people? I saw a few hands in here. Yeah, you should put your hands down too. You ain't normal. I can tell you that right now. You ain't normal. No, the Bible says that you are a peculiar person. You are a holy nation. You are called to show forth the praises of our God. You know what? You are not normal. Not normal. That's why when you go and you shop at places like Ross, you can buy the clothes that say irregular, because that's you, irregular. You're not normal. I'm just kidding with you. We are not normal people, but in a lot of ways, we're normal. We're not special in some way. I don't know about you, but I was not born as an incredible genius, some kind of an abnormality compared to everybody else. But I got the Holy Spirit, and it changed me. You know what? God, on the life of a normal person, will change them for the better. One of my friends says it this way: He'll add some extra to your ordinary and make you extraordinary. He'll add some super to your natural and make you supernatural. Man, if you would just get a hold of the Holy Ghost, your life would change. I want to give you a few examples in the Bible. Here's the first one. King Saul, the first king of Israel. He had the Spirit of God come on him, and I love it. It's found here in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6. Watch this. It says this: Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. This is the prophet Samuel prophesying over King Saul. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Yeah. Oh, I like that so much. You know that word, another? I love the definition. The definition, when you look up the original language, the word another means next. He will change you into the next man. What does that mean to me? That means this: the Holy Spirit will get on you and help you to change to get to your next. That you're not stuck where you're at. He wants to take you to your next, but you got to be changed. You got to be transformed. You got to be different. You can't stay the same and be different at the same time. You know what I mean? They are mutually exclusive. We must be changed. So we get changed into another man, even by the Spirit of the Lord. I love that. You'll be changed into another man. My friend at home, if you would let the Holy Spirit get on you at home, you will be a different parent. You will be a different spouse. You will be a different teenager. You'll be a different child. You'll be a different man. You'll be a different woman. You'll be different. You will be changed if you'll let the Holy Spirit get on you. If you don't believe me, ask your spouse. When you get into the Holy Ghost, you're better. It's true. The Holy Spirit getting on you will help you change to get to your next. And my friend, like I told you, I need you to get to your next. You need me to get to my next. We need to be those that are progressing and growing, because if not, we might already be dead. I want to talk to you real quickly about Samson. Samson, in Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, it says this: So Samson, who was a judge of Israel, and you probably know him by his incredible strength, supernatural strength, it shows us this. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. Now, pause right there. I don't know about you, but it would surprise me also if a young lion just showed up trying to eat me. Right? So he's walking through a vineyard or near a vineyard, and a lion just pops up out of nowhere. Right? So to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Say, came mightily upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him and he tore the lion apart. By the way, I know we're having some technical difficulties out there, so just bear with me. Follow along with your notes. We're going to be all right. Our team is working at it. We've been having technical difficulties all morning, but guess what? The Holy Spirit is still the same. So just dig in, all right? So the young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Now, I have no idea what that's like, tearing a young goat apart. I just don't do it, you know? Though he had nothing in his hand, he didn't have a knife, he didn't have a cleaver, no machete, none of that stuff. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Because, like, can you imagine if my son came up to me and was like, Dad, I just ripped a lion in half. I'd be like, are you on drugs? Like, are you okay? pipe down a little bit here, Pipsqueak. You know what I'm saying? But Samson ripped this lion apart. Listen, what you've got to extract from this verse, because you can just read right over it. Oh, yeah, God came mightily upon Samson. He ripped it. You can just read right over it. But what you have to extract from this is that the Holy Spirit mightily on Samson allowed him to destroy the thing that would have destroyed him. You see, there's some things that the enemy has come like a roaring lion seeking what he can devour and whom he can devour. And there are things in your life that the devil is trying to position there like a young lion to destroy your life. Maybe it's a bad relationship. Maybe it's PTSD. Maybe it's premarital sex. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's an addiction of some sort. Maybe it is laziness. But you know what? That thing that the devil is trying to use to destroy you, God wants the Holy Spirit of God to come on you mightily so you can destroy the thing that was meant to destroy you. You're not meant to be a victim. You're meant to be a victor. You are not meant to be conquered. You are meant to be in all things more than a conqueror. There are things that are designed to attack and to destroy you when you're just out for a stroll in the vineyard. But God wants the Holy Spirit of the living God to come on you, to strengthen you mightily so you can rip that thing to shreds. And you don't even have to think twice about it. Some of you out there, you need to get this in your heart because there are things that are trying to destroy you and you're not even addressing them. You're trying to avoid them. You're trying to run from them. You're trying to hide from them. Oh, maybe if I just play dead, it'll just leave me alone. No, it will destroy you and kill you. Let the Holy Spirit come on you mightily so you can destroy the thing that was meant to destroy you. The Holy Spirit will make you stronger than you are. You don't understand, Pastor Jake. I've tried to quit. I've tried to quit so many times. I've tried to avoid it. I've tried to not do it. You tried. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to come mightily on you. The Bible tells us that faith works through love. The Bible says that Jesus said, I have not seen so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. How do you get great faith? Great love. You know how you let the Holy Spirit come mightily upon you? Mighty surrender. You get mightily submitted. You get mightily out of control so he can have control. You let him have his way. Get your hands off the steering wheel. And I'm saying that in the nicest way I possibly can. But you needed to hear it like that. Get your hands off the steering wheel and let the Holy Spirit have control in your life. He is stronger than you are. I want to talk to you for a moment about Gideon, because Gideon is a pretty cool guy too. He was another judge of Israel, and we pick up in this story, I'm going to give you a backstory in just a moment, but in this story, we find that the Holy Spirit comes on Gideon. In Judges 6:33 through 35, it says this, then all the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord, I love that. Remember, I like big butts and I cannot lie. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. See, there was this massive army, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, which is a type and a shadow of the prophetic utterance of God. And the Abiezrites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who gathered also behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. This is what you need to extract from this scripture. Not just that Gideon tooted his own horn, but you need to learn this about the passage of scripture, that the Holy Spirit on Gideon empowered him to win an impossible fight by helping him to gather and rally those who would fight alongside him. You are called to be a gatherer. You're called to be a leader. I told my team this morning, if you are walking and no one is following you, you are out for a walk. You are not a leader. We need to be leaders that people follow. And people follow people that are under the anointing and the authority of the Holy Spirit of God. Gideon was not called in any way. He was not special in any way, that he was not set up for success for people to follow him. He was nobody. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he blew the trumpet and spoke prophetically, and people rallied to the call. You know, there are people that want to fight alongside you. In your business, there are people that want to fight alongside you. In your life, there are people that want to fight alongside you. In your marriage, there are people that want to fight alongside you. But unless you get under the Spirit of God, you don't have the qualifications to rally them together. But under the Spirit of God, anything is possible. The Bible says, with man, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. By the way, the first time that we meet Gideon in the Bible, get this, he was hiding from those that he conquered under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He was hiding from the same people he beat to smithereens under the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you to do what you cannot do. The things that you are hiding from and the things that should have destroyed you, all of a sudden, you are well able to take the land. You are well able, but you got to get under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. My goodness, I didn't even put it in the notes, but you got to look back about the 12 spies that went into the land, and 10 of them were not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Came back with a report that said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight, and so are we in our own sight. But two were under the influence of the Spirit of God, and they brought back a good report, and they said this, contrary to the other 10, they said, we are well able to take the land. Let's go up at once and conquer it. You know, there are things that the Holy Spirit is just going to let you look at an obstacle that is insurmountable, that is impossible, that is ridiculous. And God will give you this call. I want you to do it. And everybody else in the natural, 10 out of 12 in the natural might tell you, there's no way. You cannot do it. It is impossible. And you'll come back with the report of the Lord that says, we are well able. With men it is impossible, but not with my God. With my God, all things are possible. And hopefully on the other end of that thing, you get to just look at it and say, while you were busy looking at it and saying what's impossible, I was just too busy listening to the Holy Spirit and doing it. I want to give you another one. Elijah, I hope this is firing you up because, man, you have this Holy Ghost, this same Holy Spirit, the lion ripping, army destroying, you know, adversary conquering Holy Ghost. You've got that same one if you'll have him. Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 45 through 46, Elijah was a prophet. He was not a track star. But listen. It says this, now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black. This is after 7 years of drought. And I think it was 7 years, something like that, or 3 years maybe. 3 years of drought. And all of a sudden, God tells Elijah, prophesy and speak, and the rain is going to come. And so now all of a sudden, the rain is going to come. And so we pick up here, and now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind. And there was heavy rain. So Ahab rode away. This was the king, King Ahab. He got into his chariot and he rode away to this place called Jezreel. Verse 46. Listen, then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah and he girded up his loins. Okay, he hiked up his skirt and he ran ahead of King Ahab in front of his chariot, who had a head start, to the entrance of Jezreel. He ran faster than a king in the... These were not like flunky horses. These were the good horses. These were the best horses. They were the fastest horses. They were the most trained horses. It was the best, most well-lubricated chariot in the fleet. And Elijah outruns them to Jezreel. Now listen, you might just read right over that. Oh yeah, anybody can outrun a horse in a short distance. Be quiet. Jezreel, from Mount Carmel, where they were, to Jezreel is about 50 kilometers. For those of you that don't use the metric system like us in the United States, that is like 31 miles. Longer than a marathon. And all he did was hike up his skirt under the hand of the Lord, and pew, he was gone. He beat the king and his chariot to Jezreel. Look, even things that are naturally impossible, God will make to be possible. The Holy Spirit empowered Elijah to do a supernatural feat to keep him safe from a natural threat. Many of you don't know all the things that I've been through in life, but I can tell you story after story after story about how God has protected me naturally, supernaturally, when I've been on the mission field, where I've been in water that should kill you. I've eaten things that should make you puke. I've eaten things that should make you sick. I have not once been sick. I have not once been, I have all the appropriate number of holes in my body. I've had AK-47s in my face multiple times. I've come back not with an additional holes in my body from that. God has protected me. There have been terrorists after me. There have been things, the state coming after me, not this state, other states coming after me. And I've been preserved. I'm not that smart. I'm not that super. I'm not special forces. I'm just Rambo in the realm of the spirit. That's all I am. Come here, get me, come here. That's like a throwback to Predator right there. I am a predator in the realm of the spirit. I'm hunting me down some demons, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to find them and get rid of them, Jack. He ran 31 miles under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all can't make it to your mailbox without the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost to get to my refrigerator. Hey, look, if that's what you need, then get you some Holy Ghost. If that's what you need, then get you under the anointing of God. Look, you need to do beyond what you can do, and you can't do it without someone beyond you. We self-helped ourselves to where we at. That's why self-help books don't help you, because you self-helped yourself already. We need help from outside. We need help from the Holy Ghost. Amen? Sorry, I'm getting a little excited. The Holy Ghost is exciting. I love it when the intersection, when you don't know what a miracle is this. It's taking an invisible God and bringing him into the realm of the visible. It's taking the things that are impossible and making them possible. We serve that kind of God. And if you don't have that kind of God, and if you're looking at me and like, well, that was just in the Old Testament and that stuff doesn't happen anymore. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Let's keep the Bible in context. How about this one? Because this one is in the New Testament. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, whatever. Mary, the mother of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35, it says this, then Mary said to the angel, okay, number one, if you're talking to angels, something going on, right? Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? By the way, it wasn't that she was like in a convent or something like that. It was that she had not had relations in a way to produce a child with a man. She was a virgin is what the Bible tells us. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, for that reason also, that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Well, I already know the Christmas story, Pastor Jake. Why are you telling me the Christmas story again? Because if you just read it like the Christmas story, you miss the fact that the Holy Spirit's influence on Mary made her fruitful when there was no natural reason for her to have fruitfulness. You, my friend, might not have any reason for fruitfulness in your life. Maybe your business idea is stupid. Maybe your advertising campaign sucks. Maybe you just have nothing special about you in the realm of the natural. I got good news for you. When the Holy Spirit gets on you, he can get you fruitful when you shouldn't be fruitful. When there is no natural reason and all your competitors are like, that's the stupidest thing I ever seen. Why is it working? And then they try to do it and it falls flat on its face because they're not anointed by the Holy Spirit to do what you're doing. That's why when you try to copy someone else, it don't work because you need your Holy Spirit to do the thing that God called you to do, not what somebody else is called to do. I remember when it was like in the early 90s or something like that, and I used to go to Waikiki a lot because some of my friends work down there, and I used to just like to hang out sometimes and go to the beach. And I remember that the Hilton Hawaiian Village had a mini golf course that they built there. And I remember clear as day seeing the advertising banner that they made huge, and they put it right over, and it was like floating up in the air, right? Suspended in the air above the mini golf course. And this was their slogan: mini golf is fun. And I thought to myself right then and there, I should be in advertising, because I can do better than that. You know what I mean? Mini golf is fun. Seriously? Are you for real right now? You paid somebody to design that banner for you that says mini golf is fun. See, but you know what? You could have a lame thing like that. Sorry, if you're part of the Hilton Hawaiian Village, it was a great mini golf course, and it was fun. It really was. But you know, it was a bad advertising slogan. And you know what? You might be the person that comes up with a lame advertising slogan for your business. But guess what? If the Holy Spirit is in it, and if that's what He told you to do, then it's going to work, because it's the Holy Spirit, and He knows better than you do. And He will just begin to draw people, and they're like, oh, that is the best slogan I ever heard in my life. I wish that our city and county would get under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because their advertisements need help. The Holy Spirit's influence on Mary made her fruitful when there was no reason for her to have fruitfulness. Look, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you might see that there's no reason for fruitfulness. There is no reason for success. There is no reason, there is no good reason why you should be in the position that you're in. You're right. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I have no right, I have no natural right to be at the invitation of a president of a country to go and preach the gospel. I have no natural right to go into villages that have never seen somebody my color. I have no natural right to be preaching the gospel even to you. I'm not qualified in so many ways, in so many levels. I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to lead people. But you know what? The Holy Spirit said otherwise. And if you would get under the anointing, if you will allow Him to overshadow you, if you'll step down off the podium and put Him on the podium and let Him overshadow you, see, He is the highest. As long as we're the highest, there's no overshadowing. There's no productivity. There's no fruitfulness. But when we put Him in the highest, like Mary did, see, the highest will overshadow you. My friend, you've got to let the highest overshadow you. It ain't about me. Nobody needs to know my name. If I really believe my God, then if God called me to the nations, then you know what? The nations are going to call me. Not because I sent my brochures out all over the world and made my name famous, but because I trust that my God can drop my name and my phone number and my email address into somebody's heart all the way on the other side of the world without even promoting myself. Because if God ain't big enough to do that, it's a pretty puny God. You know what I'm talking about? We've got a big God, and He can do whatever. And so I'm going to let Him do whatever in my life. My friend, I want to tell you today that we must change. And the catalyst of change is the Holy Spirit. You let the Holy Spirit come in and catalyze your life. And these are just a few of the many, many examples of what the Holy Spirit will catalyze in your life. I hope that you begin to want the Holy Spirit. I want to give you one thing. And then I want to give you an opportunity if you don't know Jesus Christ, because you can't have the Holy Spirit if you don't give your life to Jesus. One thing. Here's the one thing. I want to invite the person and the catalyst of the Holy Spirit into my life this week, and I want to become my next. I hope that for you that that's what you decide, to invite the person and the catalyst of the Holy Spirit into your life and become your next. Can I just say, the person that you are right here, right now, in this moment, I love you, and God loves you perfectly, but it ain't good enough. There is greater in store. There is more for you. I want to tell you today that God has great things in store, and He has a plan that you cannot possibly fulfill or execute without the Holy Spirit. Let Him in, and let Him catalyze your life. Today, if you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you a quick opportunity to do that. Jesus is the one that released the Holy Spirit to live in the earth. And you cannot have the Holy Spirit without Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through Him. And you know what? We can't have the Holy Spirit either, because He is the Holy Spirit, not the unholy spirit. And Jesus will make us holy. Jesus will make us righteous. And the Holy Spirit will feel at home in our lives when we've given all of our sin and shame, all of our brokenness, and everything that disqualifies us to Jesus. And Jesus gives us His perfect life in exchange. Today, if you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says all you need to do is believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That will mean that you need to believe that Jesus died for your sin, that He paid the price. He died for your sin so you could have His perfect life, and that God raised Him from the dead again. He's not dead. He is alive, sitting on the right hand of the Father and the Majesty on high, waiting for His enemies to be made His footstool. Secondly, the Bible says that you need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That means you're turning over control of your life to Jesus. You're giving Him the first place. You're putting Him on the podium. You're putting Him on the pedestal. He's the boss. He leads, and you follow. If you're willing to do those things today, you can get born again right here and right now. I'm going to pray, and if you'll repeat this prayer after me and mean it in your heart, by the end of these next 30 seconds or so, you will be saved. It's not a magic prayer that saves you. It's doing business with Jesus in your heart. He sees your heart. So today, I want to ask all of you that are with me here, if you would pray along with me. You can just pray with me out there if you're doing this for the first time, or maybe you've been away from Jesus and you need to come back home and recommit your life to Him today, that you would recommit right now, and you can just repeat this prayer after me and mean it in your heart, and by the end of this, you'll be right with Jesus. Would you guys pray with me today? Bow your heads, your hearts with me as we pray. Would you say this? Heavenly Father, I come before You in the name of Jesus. And I believe in my heart that You raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that He died for my sins. And I give Him my sin and my shame right now. I receive His perfect life in exchange for my broken life. And I say with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. He is the boss, He is the king, He is the leader, and I'm the follower. I'll do what He wants me to do. Because of these things, I know that I am now saved. My eternity belongs in heaven, and I have access to the Holy Spirit. Thank You for saving me today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, look, if you prayed that prayer with us today, all of heaven is going nuts right now, because the Bible says that there is rejoicing in the presence of angels. So it's not even the angels that are rejoicing. It's God Almighty that's rejoicing that you decided to come home and to be part of His family. God wants to furnish you completely for every good work, and He'll do that by the Holy Spirit. In the coming weeks, I'm going to talk to you about how to receive the Holy Spirit. But you know what? If you received salvation today, I hope that you'll comment in the comment stream, send us a message or something. Just let us know that you either recommitted your life or that you received Jesus for the first time today. And we want to rejoice with you. We want to send you a brand new Bible. We want to send you a gift that you're absolutely going to love. And we want to tell you how to take your next step in Jesus Christ. We're so glad that you're with us today. Thank you for joining us for live praise and worship. And through all the technical difficulties, thanks to the IT team here for making it happen. Thanks for sticking with us. We hope that you're blessed and thoroughly encouraged and exhorted by the Word of God. Come back and join us next week. Same place, same time, 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time here at the Ark Christian Church for another time in fellowship in the Word and in worship. Also, come and join us on Wednesday night. It's going to be awesome. Join us at 6:30 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time for prayer, followed by communion. It'll bless you, I promise. Finally, don't forget to register for the Alohi Lani in-person event on our website or through our app, and come and join us in person on February 28th. With that being said, we love you, we bless you, we speak the peace and the blessing of God all over to you today, whether you're watching the Super Bowl or not. Be blessed.